brethren, put ye on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone have a complaint against another, even as the Lord had forgiven you, so do you also. But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body. And be you thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father by Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time Jesus spoke this parable to the multitude. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in the field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and oversowed cockle among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade had sprung up and had brought forth fruit, and then appeared also the cockle, and the servants of the good man of the house coming said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Hence they had it cockle. And he said to them, An enemy had done this. And the servant said to him, Will thou that we go and gather it up? And he said, No, lest perhaps gathering up the cockle, you root up the wheat also together with it. Suffer both to grow into the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather up the cockle and bind it into the bundles to burn. But the wheat gather ye into my barn. Thus far the words of Holy Scripture. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Gather up first the cockle and bind it into the bundles to burn, but the wheat gather ye into my barns. Today, we see our Lord teaching once again in a parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in the field, but while men were asleep, the enemy came and oversowed cockle among the wheat and went his way. It's very powerful because he's saying that it's like a man that sowed the seed, and that's our Lord, the Holy Spirit, that sows the seeds of truth. He said, but when men were asleep, his enemy came and oversowed cockle among the wheat and went his way. Cockle, my friends, looks like wheat, but there's no fruit in it, in a sense. It's just empty. There's nothing inside of it. And the fathers and the doctors tell us that the cockle is the heresy in the church, that heresies rise up. And sometimes you can't judge these people. You see them. They look, once again, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. And so we see that we're living in this time where the church is infested with heresy. And the heresy comes directly even now from the vicar of Christ, the Pope himself, which is scary. And the bishops are, you know, the same thing, and priests. So the church right now is infected with heresy. And you got to say, well, God created us to be with him for all eternity. He created us to participate in his beatific vision in heaven. That's what we're all created for. So the question is, if God created us, why does he allow this evil to exist amongst us? Why does he allow this cockle to be among us? And there's many reasons the fathers and the doctors tell us. Number one is that God brings a greater good out of evil. And so even though these heresies come up, God will bring a greater good. And sometimes it looks like we look now what's going on in the church, say, how can God ever bring good at this? And many souls are being lost. How can that be good? But God's ways are not our ways. As high as the heaven are above the earth, his ways are above ours. And so one of the reasons why he allows heresy is to test us. This is important. Because nobody goes to heaven just, you don't skate into heaven. You have to merit heaven. You have to earn it. Yes, we receive the grace. We can't do that without God's grace. But St. James, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. Faith without works is useless. And so when we go through these times of heresy, if you're faithful to God, it's going to strengthen you more than anything. Because number one, it gives you should say, you know what? They're poisoning me. And now who do I trust? And so you should start studying the faith on a deeper level. So you start to understand so that you can't be led astray. My friends, we all have an obligation to study the faith. It doesn't stop with when you receive your confirmation. And the greater intellect God gives you, the more he expects you to know about the faith. And you should at least learn now when you hear something, you should be able to at least have the ability to say, you know what, I know where to go for the answers. I know where to look that up in the book of Denzinger, say, that has all the dogmas listed. Books like the Fundamental Catholic Dogma by Ludwig Ott, say, books like that, where you know you could say, okay, something's not right with that priest is saying, or what that cardinal's saying, what the Pope is saying. The beauty of the Catholic Church is that the Church has given us these beautiful dogmas. And so many people, they say, oh, your Church, they just want to chain you up and keep you down, you know? And that's not true. The dogmas are beautiful because the dogma reveals these truths that God has revealed to us. 2,000 years of revelation. And that's why the Church had ecumenical councils. Why? Because there will always be this cockle among the wheat. There will always be men that in their free will, they choose not to serve God. They choose to serve Satan. St. Ignatius in his spiritual exercises speaks about the two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. No other kingdom, my friend, that we're dealing with. So in other words, you're either in one kingdom or the other. There's no middle way. You can't be in the middle somewhere. You're either serving God, going forward, becoming holy, or you're serving Satan. And so free will is important. And so we have to exercise our free will. We have to stand with God in the Church. And if we love God, that means we want to learn these dogmas. They're there to protect us. They're like a map to get you to heaven. They help us in the economy of salvation. The more knowledge you have about God, the more knowledge you have about the dogmas of the Church, the more you'll love Christ, the more you'll see the beauty of the Church. But it takes work. You know, how many people spend time studying the stock market and how to make millions and so on and so on, but they put no time into their spiritual life, no time whatsoever. And so when God allows heresy, once again, it's to bring a greater good. So when a heresy would pop up in the Church many times have called councils. We had 21 major ecumenical councils, okay? And the whole purpose of an ecumenical council, and Vatican II, they call it an ecumenical council, but in reality, it really wasn't. Because the whole purpose of an ecumenical council is to suppress the errors that are out there. And the Church does that by defining dogmas. And the Pope uses his gift of infallibility, and the bishops cooperate with him. The bishops can't do without him. And then the Pope would proclaim these dogmas of faith. The council, like the Council of Trent, the greatest council the Church ever had, went over. It was because of the Protestant Revolution. Probably the worst heresy in the history of the Church, in one sense. Destroyed many souls in hell because of Protestantism. It's a heresy. And many souls are continuing to go to hell. So that heresy is over 500 years old, and it's still taking souls to hell. But if you study the Council of Trent, you'll be able to refute any argument that any Protestant has. And so with these councils, once again, we have these beautiful dogmas that are proclaimed, say, de fide, which means they're free of error, and they can never be changed. And that's why this weekend I heard you, I hope you learned many things. You see how these devils today, the cardinals, the bishops, even the Pope, have been exposed once you study these things. And how they play semantics and try to twist the words of God, twist the words of the Church. So no. So my friends, be careful. Study. Study the faith. You have to be men and women of prayer. Because believe me, if you're a man and woman of prayer and you're consecrated to the Mother of God and you put yourself under her mantle, you become her possession and property, she won't lose you. And many people tell me that are dedicated, say, Father, I don't understand, but I know this priest was saying these things. I can't, is there an error here? Because my soul was just disturbed tremendously. My friends, don't ignore those signs. That's Our Lady warning you. Something's wrong. This is not true doctrine. And so now you know where to go. You go, if you can go to a good priest that you know is 100% faithful, you go to him. But learn how to look these things up. And now with the internet, there's so much, we have so much access to doctrines. All you got to type in is, a Eucharist. Give me the doctrine, the Catholic doctrine of the Eucharist, and it will all come up. So this is beautiful. And so, but our Lord is clear sometimes about how in the end, the angels will come and they will gather up the cockle and bind it into bundles to burn. But the wheat gather ye into my barn. And so sometimes we get impatient. Why doesn't God strike these evil people down? Why does he tolerate them leading souls astray? Remember what I said, I taught you this weekend, that every soul receives all the graces they need once they reach the age of reason to save their soul. All right? But he warned them, sometimes if you go and rip up the cockle, you're going to rip up some of the good wheat too. And so it's so we have to have patience with these people. And patience means long suffering. And that's why St. Paul in the reading today, he tells us that above all, we have to put on charity. He says, but above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your heart. Okay, that is beautiful. And true charity, though, means we will everyone to go to heaven. That's what it means. To be truly charitable to another soul, we will them the good, the greatest good. And we don't want to do anything that prevent them from obtaining their end. So if we really love these people, we pray for them first of all, because that's the hardest part that we don't want to do. Notice Our Lady Fatima, she didn't say most souls go to hell because no one will witness to them. Most souls go to hell because no one will talk to them and show them. No, she said most souls go to hell because no one will pray or do penance. And we're impatient people. And so we want conversions right away. People come up to me all the time, parents, what can I do to convert my son? And I can understand because it's painful. We want it right away. It doesn't happen that way. It can happen that way if God chooses. So we have to be charitable. If we're charitable and we see, especially our loved ones, going astray, once again, I keep telling you, you have to wear your knees out. You have to beg God to have mercy on them, to enlighten them with the truth and give them the strength to abandon their vice. It ain't going to come without you doing that. Remember that great Father Mateo. He said, someone has to pay the price. Someone has to pay the price. And I'll tell you a story. I've told it many times, but it drives home the point. Father Mateo tells a story of a wealthy man he was trying to convert. And he couldn't convert him for years. And the man was on his deathbed, and he called for Father Mateo. He says, I want to come into the church. I'm ready. And he said, and he brought not only him in the church, but his wife and all his children. And then they were, after the baptism, confirmation, anointing of the six, Holy Viaticum, First Communion for everyone. He had Mass right there. The whole family was ecstatic and filled with joy. Here's a man dying, but they're filled with joy. Because all that matters is that we save our soul. And then there was a voice, a little meek voice coming from the room, and said, Master, may I speak? It was a woman who was a servant for many years. I think it was over 25 years. And he goes, yes, you can speak. And she says, you may think I was just a servant. She goes, but I was more than that. She goes, I am an apostle of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And ever since I came here every day, I offered up everything I did, all my work, for your conversion. I offer every dish I clean. I beg God, please convert my master. Every dish, every diaper I changed, every floor I swept and mopped, I did it all in union with Christ for you. And she goes, my mission is accomplished. God can take me now. My friends, that's so powerful. That woman didn't convert this man. God didn't use, he used her to convert him, but she didn't do it by her words. She did it by her actions, by her prayer and penance. And that was, I'm sure, the master wasn't so nice at times over those 25 years. Okay? So in the first reading, we could see our Lord, St. Paul tells us that, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, put on, he says, therefore these things, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Okay, if anyone have a complaint against another, even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so do you also. Okay, so this is what we have to do. We will win people over more by meekness and humility and charity than we do by our words. Now, I'm not telling you that you shouldn't use words. At times, there's appropriate time when you feel, okay, now I could use. But I'm saying this is what we got to do. And many people, we complain, we cry because we receive oppositions. It's very painful. The closer someone is to you, the more you love them, and they're offending you, the more it hurts. And therefore, your prayers are even more powerful. And so offer up these people that are offending you, these people that are offending God in your own family. That pain when you see your son, your daughter, your father, your mother offending God and you're afraid that they're going to go to hell. Offer that pain up for their conversion. God will hear it. But do it all through the Immaculate Virgin, because when we consecrate ourselves to her, we become her possession and property. And all our prayers, all our merits, even every Holy Communion, we should give it to her. Becomes her possession, her property, do what she wants. And she purifies that because we have mixed motives at times and nobody here is perfect. But now, once it becomes Our Lady, the value of that merit magnifies a million times over. And she's able to save tons of souls like that. So let's pray for Our Lady that we too can be an apostle of the Immaculate Heart and the Sacred Heart and draw our prayers and penances, that we will be faithful to the church, that she will grant us the grace to know when we're hearing teachings that are against. And do we get angry? You should get angry, but you have to control your anger too. And we have to pray, especially for the hierarchy now. We have to pray for the Pope, because he could be converted. We have to pray for the cardinals, pray for the bishops, pray for priests, that they may all be converted. And we have to pray too, because for our own salvation, because the saying goes, therefore the grace of God goes I. Let us not get high and mighty on our high horse, they say, and think that we're doing so good. No, we're not doing that good. We could do a lot better, all of us. We don't sacrifice enough. We're not obedient totally to Christ. And once again, I'll end with this. People don't understand Catholicism. All of us, we shy from the essence of it is the cross, to be crucified with Christ. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. How do you think Christ felt when Judas betrayed him? How do you think he felt? This was just not another man. This was a hand-chosen soul by Christ. Imagine the extraordinary graces that God gave Judas. Because in the Catholic Church, we learn that you receive the grace of your vocation. Look at St. Joseph. He was the holiest man. After the Blessed Virgin, there's no holier saint than St. Joseph. Why? Because he needed extraordinary grace to fulfill the role as the stepfather of the God-man, Jesus Christ, and the husband of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Immaculate. We too receive the grace of our vocations. We too receive the grace. So once again, let us pray as we go to Calvary that we embrace these roles, that we don't run away from suffering. Like I said, I was saying, Judas, all the graces that he received. How many times did Christ take him out, say, let's go for a walk, just me and you, Judas. I want to talk to you. I want to reveal to you about your soul, things to you about your soul. You don't think Christ warned them about his vices? You didn't think Christ warned them about his propensity for avarice because he was a thief? Of course he did. He never gave up on Judas right to the end. And so when we're down, when we see people betray us, especially ones that love us, we think of Christ. We unite with him in his agony in the garden, how Judas came up and gave him the kiss of death. And stop pitying yourself. And the pain that there turns into merit. And these people will be converted. When you realize there's redemptive value in your suffering, as long as you're in a state of grace, souls will be saved. Sometimes we got to do, not sometimes, most of the time we have to zip this, do a lot less talking, and do more praying. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.